something for me in my career. I am Jennifer Gimbel, and I have worked on water issues as a lawyer and as a policy person for the states of Wyoming and Colorado and for the federal government. So I was very fortunate when I came back from the Obama administration to hook up with Regan Wascom, who was the director at the time, and who asked if I'd be willing to teach this class. And it's just been lots of fun. So we every fall, we look at different water issues, and we try to put it around a theme. This year, we're talking about sustainability. That's kind of a new one for me. So I'm going to be learning along with you with respect to this. Once we did compacts and interstate agreements, international agreements. We've done kind of on the ground management, how to figure out evaporative losses, how to figure out historic consumptive use. We've done pure law, looking at the case law that created the prior appropriation system and some of the law that's been passed since, case law and by statute. So this class, we're going to focus on sustainability, but the first two classes are really just an introduction. Today, I'm going to have you, first of all, have the students introduce themselves. I understand we have 23 students. And for the students, I ask that you keep your camera online, please, and so we can see you. And then we'll get into what the course requires, what it's going to cover, and then talk a little bit, just the beginnings of the prior appropriation doctrine and some of that. Next week will be a real fast flyby of state, federal, and international water law to get us grounded in and prepare for many of these guest speakers we have coming. After that, we have people coming from Greeley, from Fort Collins. We have folks that are looking at land and water planning together. I've got Brad Udall coming. He works for the center. He's going to talk about sustainability on the Colorado River with climate change. So we've got just a really good lineup, and I'm glad to have this large class. For those of you who are not students, welcome. One of the reasons I did this class virtually again this year was because of the overwhelming feedback I got last fall when we did it virtually, where people from all over the state, even a couple people from Arizona, said, love the class, can you keep it in a virtual mode? So we're doing that for now, and hopefully that'll work. When we move forward, for those of you that are here as members of the public, I'll be taking questions from students first. I probably will even be calling on them for some responses, but I will try to get to all questions. The class technically is from 4 to 4:50, but all the guest speakers have agreed to stay as long as necessary to answer questions. And to be able to, if we get into a conversation, to continue that conversation. For the students, though, you're only required to be here till 4:50. I'm just hoping you'll be engaged enough and interested enough that you'll want to stay with us. So with that, let me share my screen. I want to let you know that, let's see, not that one. It didn't work. Sorry, I had this figured out last year. Allie, can you see that?
It's loading right now. Yep, now I got it.
Okay, we'll go to the slideshow. So Allie Altamore is a student that works for the Water Center along with Molly Smith, and they work for Nancy Grice, who is helping us get this show on the road. Also, Julie Kallenberger is on the, I saw she's attending also. She is the new associate director for the Water Center. I'm an interim director right now. We are starting the process to look for a permanent replacement, a permanent director. Reagan Wascom, who was in this job for many, many years, has retired. And we're now looking for a replacement. So those of you that know maybe some graduate students, PhD candidates or JDs, people who might be interested in working at the Water Center, please let me know. I would reach out to them. So let me see. This, by the way, is the headwaters of the Colorado River. We'll spend some time talking about the Colorado River in this class, but next fall, next year, 2022, is the 100th anniversary of the Colorado River Compact, and I plan to have the whole session be on Colorado River history, compact, climate, etc. So for this particular class, we've got, like I said, the basics of water law. We're going to be talking about water quality and ecosystems, agriculture sustainability, local water systems and municipal challenges, privatization and speculation of water. The governor appointed, or was it, maybe it wasn't the governor, it was head of the Natural Resources Department, appointed a panel of people to talk about speculation of water. There have been concerns that have been raised over the last few years. I have a member of that panel, Peggy Montagna, who will be coming, and she'll give us a sense of what those conversations were like. We're going to talk wildfire and climate challenges, and as I said before, land and water planning. The syllabus is on Canvas, but for those of you who go by the website, we've also put the syllabus, or not the, the schedule is on the website. The other thing that we've put on the website are, well, we're recording this session, and we will then post that also on the website as well as Canvas for the students. I also have assignments, reading assignments for the students and I've tried to make them brief so that you just get an overview of things. But I've had a lot of people ask me what those reading assignments are from the general public. So those reading assignments are also now posted on the web. And if you have questions about them, comments, anything, please let us know, because like I said, I'm learning a lot of this along with you, and I find it just really fascinating, quite honestly. So for the students, attending the seminar is 60% of the grade, which is why I asked you to keep your cameras on. Allie or Molly will be just checking and making sure that you're still there. I ask that you read your assignments before each class. Some classes have, some assignments are listed for a couple classes, and you'll get the gist of that as you look at it. For the final project, which is 40% of your grade, I'm looking for a paper, probably about 2 to 4 pages, discussing the sustainability on a water issue, local, regional, national, or international. I'd like you to describe 2 case studies describing how law and policy affect sustainability of water supplies positively and another one negatively. Or one case study and looking at both the positive and negative with respect to laws and policies. Those papers are due on December 13th. And then I will ask you to share just briefly what you found with your case study. The last class for the presentation of papers for the students is mandatory attendance And the public will not be invited to that class. It will just be us. So some of the reading materials, there is so much out there on water and water law. And I wanted to put these on slides so that people who aren't aware of these things, these publications, have a chance to look at them. For instance, the Citizen's Guide to Colorado Water Law is put out by the Education Association for Colorado. And it's a wonderful guide. It's water law basically for the non-lawyer. And I think for those of you that don't know the ins and outs of the water law, it's a good read. If you want to get a more in-depth study, there's Colorado Water Law for Non-Lawyers. We used this book a couple of years ago as a basis for the class. It got really good reviews from the students about it. It's more in-depth. It's not required reading for this class, students, but it is very interesting. A book that has just come out within the last year, another interesting one, is called Confluence, The Story of Greeley Water. If you're into history and how water developed here in northern Colorado, and let me tell you, the water development here in northern Colorado influenced the West, all of the West. And we'll be talking about that in a little bit. But this is a story. Greg Hobbs is a former Supreme Court Justice on the Colorado Supreme Court. And Michael Welch have put this book together. Again, I don't make it an assignment, but for those of you that are interested in these things, I wanted to make you aware of it. A couple other things out there. We are going to hear from Ann Castle, and she's a former Assistant Secretary for Water and Science, and she's been a Colorado water attorney pretty much her whole professional life. She was on a group that put together this study of how to integrating water efficiency and land use planning. That's been a disconnect in the last century as to, we see cities grow, and you have part of the city that its job is to make it grow, but the other part is to make sure everybody has water, and those don't always connect, but we're getting better at that. So she'll be talking about that. I just got an email from Brian Richter, who has this article called The Irrigation Efficiency Paradox, and I do have it cited in the reading materials for those of you that are interested. People don't understand that. What's hard to understand is that improving agricultural efficiency doesn't necessarily mean more water in the river. That's counterintuitive to a lot of people. And Brian does a good job of explaining that. And we'll hopefully have more. We'll have the Ag Commissioner here, and I'm hoping she'll talk a little bit about that herself. Then I found this article, came across just this summer, a Scientific American article called Human Evolution Led to an Extreme Thirst for Water. I found it really interesting. It just talks more about how we developed as humans and our need for water. And I just thought it was a real good background. So those three things are on the required reading list for the students. And like I said, I have links to those on the website and in Canvas. So let me stop there and first look to the students and see if there are any questions so far about the class or requirements. You're going to have to probably raise your hand and Allie will monitor for me. Any questions, Allie?
All the students should be able to unmute. Well, everyone should be able to unmute if they have a question, but nothing in the chat so far.
Okay.
I have a quick question for any speakers that come in the class. Would it be like a section at the end for questions and answers to kind of interact with the speaker?
Yes. That's the downside of doing this virtually, is we would bring speakers into the class so that you could actually meet them, talk to them about jobs, that sort of thing. But it's still there. That to me is the biggest part. I ask them to speak only for 30 minutes or so, and then to make sure that we have plenty of time for questions. And as you can see from the lineup of speakers, we have some really interesting people that are dealing with some difficult issues. So we'll plan on that, Jacob. And like I said, we may even run over if there's enough conversation going on.
For sure. Thank you.
You bet. Anyone else? Okay.
I had a quick question about the readings that you were posting that were required.
Sure.
I noticed the first two are in the form of web links. Is there an easy way to save those as PDFs, or do you have PDFs of them that we could post instead of maybe web links, so that way we could save them for future reference?
Allie, would you put that on your list?
Yes, I can definitely turn them into PDFs and put them on there. You can also, if you would like, for anyone, when you're on the website, if you do Control P, it'll get the whole page for you, and you should be able to save it as a PDF. And then Jennifer, we have a question in the chat, from David asking if all of the readings are free.
Yes. If you read Scientific American a lot and you're not a member, you may not get that article. You have only so many free shots at Scientific American for a year. The books are a different story. I have a link to the Colorado Water Law Citizen's Guide. These two books we don't have online, so that is a difference. And I got rolling. I introduced myself and just got right into class. You're going to find that I just love this so much that that's where I go. But I want to step back and just have the students introduce themselves and give me a sense of, you know, what's your major, or your doctorate, master's, what's your interest in this class. So I'm going to stop sharing for a second so I can see my whole screen. And I'm if you're not a student and I call on you, just say, not a student, and because I just want to deal with the students right now. So first, Jacob, since you spoke up, I'm going to pick on you first.
Yeah, hello everyone. My name is Jacob Vanderust. I'm a first year chemistry graduate student. So today is my first day of grad school. It's been pretty fun so far. So I'm very interested in water sustainability, specifically like the chemistry lab of Dr. Thomas Bork. He works with a lot of sustainable water and using produced water for new irrigation sources. So that's kind of my background, and very excited to be here and network and learn about some sustainable water.
Thanks, Jacob. Dixie, you're next on my list, on my screen.
Hello. Well, my name's Dixie. This is also my first day as an official grad student.
Congratulations, guys.
Thank you. Oh, and my interest is I was born and raised in Colorado on the West Slope. And I completed the Sustainable Water Interdisciplinary minor alongside my civil engineering undergrad degree. And I think this is actually the first fall semester where I've been able to fit in this seminar in my schedule. So I'm very excited to be here in person. Well, not in person, but live.
That's great. Thanks, Dixie. Sarah Bitters. Fighters? I'm not sure.
Yeah, Viders.
Hi,
I'm Sarah. I'm a senior in ecosystem science and sustainability, and I'm interested in this class because I'm hoping to go to law school focused in environmental law and maybe water law, and it's just very interesting to me. living in Colorado.
Thanks, Sarah. If you're going to do any kind of environmental law in Colorado or the West, you need to understand water law. So I'm glad to have you here. Brian Steen.
Hi, I'm Brian. I am a watershed science undergraduate, and I'm taking this class because I'm looking for a little bit broader range of capstone topics potentially for next year.
Ah.
So, and yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Welcome. Matthew, is it Twyman? Matt Twyman?
There you go, you got it. Yeah. It's 50-50 how that comes out for most people. Very often Wyman, just missed the T. Hi, I'm Matt. I'm in the Ecosystem Science Sustainability Professional Science Master's Program. So this is my second, hopefully final year of grad school here. I've got a background in physics way back when, and have made the rounds in different career choices. So when I felt like I really needed to make a change in my life and start to try to think outside of my traditional box, CSU really became a good choice for me. So my area of study is more in greenhouse gas management and accounting. Having lived in Fort Collins in Colorado for 3 years now, coming from Texas, that has its own water issues. But I always remember seeing the signs that Colorado was closed for new people, and somehow I made it in. So I'm aware of the downsides to population growth. And I was just really curious about the water laws and everything that goes on here, and just kind of the impact that I have as one of the many people moving and flooding to this state that love it so much. So I saw this come up about 2 days ago as an opportunity, and I just jumped right on it. So I'm pretty excited to learn everything you have to offer.
Thanks, Matt. That's great. CJ. Is it
Hi, everyone. Sheeman, actually.
Sheeman.
Hi, everyone. My name is CJ Sheeman. I'm in my second semester as a master's student here at CSU, and my program is Hydrologic Science and Engineering. And I don't actually have an undergrad bachelor's degree in civil engineering. I have a soil and crop science bachelor's degree, and then I had to make up a bunch of background coursework to enter the master's program. So.
Well, welcome. David Rice.
I'm David Rice. I'm a first-year master's student in the Department of Agricultural and Resource Economics, and I'm interested in all things agricultural sustainability. And I think water use in the West is a huge topic with regards to that.
It is, and we're fortunate to get Kate Greenberg, who's Commissioner of Ag for Colorado, to talk to us. So welcome.
Thank you.
Gabriel first.
Hi, it's actually Gabrielle.
Gabrielle, sorry.
No worries. I am in my last semester in the Impact MBA program here at CSU. So using private enterprise for social good. And I just think that water law is fascinating. And I think there's a lot of stuff you can do with sustainability with water. So just thought I would take this class this semester.
Great. Welcome. Satya, is that right?
Hi. I'm a student at CSU, but not technically a student of this class. I could not enroll. So I'm doing my PhD with systems engineering, and I'm doing it online. So this course didn't have an online option, so I can register. But my PhD topic is around sustainable agriculture and using technology to provide sustainability and yield in the same same model. So I'm trying to understand more about agriculture, and my professor recommended me to attend these seminars so that I can get more knowledge on water sustainability that I could use in agriculture sustainability.
Great. Well, welcome, Satya. Elsa Martin.
Hi. So I am also an undergraduate student. I have the same major as Sarah, actually, ecosystem science and sustainability. I'm also pursuing a watershed sciences minor. So this is, right in my ballpark with water and sustainability. I'm really excited to explore the topic some more, and I'm super stoked about all of the lecturers. So I'm happy to be here.
Great. Glad to have you here. Joe Pugh, is that right? Is that how you say it?
You got it, yeah. Not often that happens, so congrats. I am a first-year PhD student in civil engineering. I did my master's here, so just kind of transitioning into the doctoral program. And I study fluid mechanics and hydraulic engineering, specifically having to do with irrigation water systems and how to be more conservative with our water use there. So just the more I study that topic, the broader it becomes in terms of how city planners interact with farmers and how food production is part of that as well. And it just becomes a much broader and interdisciplinary problem. So I'm looking forward to this class to get just more context and knowledge on kind of how to discuss that and maybe contribute to part of the
solution. Great. Thanks, Joe. Olivia. I'm not even going to try your last name.
It's Curlidge.
Curlidge. Okay. The way you spelled, right?
Yep, exactly. I'm an undergrad too, going to be a junior, majoring in ecosystem science and sustainability. I got an email that this was offered, and I was like, yeah, that sounds cool, and I'm really not too sure exactly what I want to do quite yet specifically. Uh-huh. So I figured it'd be a great opportunity to learn about something and see if I've always been interested in water and like our usage of it and stuff. So I'm just interested to learn a little bit more and like the options out there for me.
Great. Thanks, Olivia. By the way, I could talk water for years. And I'm in the office. I don't have set office hours, but I'm in the engineering building 102 every Monday and Friday, or Monday and Wednesday, I'm sorry. And if you just want to come talk water, I can show you books. I can just help you any way you'd like. So welcome, Olivia. Jan, is it Sitterson?
Yes. Hi, I am a second semester graduate student in the Crop and Soil Sciences Department working under Allen and Dallas for the Subsurface Irrigation Efficiency Program. So I'm very interested in all things agriculture. I also work part-time at the USDA in their water management program.
Oh, nice. So
that's something that I know this class will help me with, water management. Thanks.
That's great. Thanks. Sophia Thomas.
Hi, everybody. I'm Sophia. I'm a senior in ecosystem science and sustainability with an English minor, just for fun. I've taken quite a few water-centered classes, water-focused, and have just become pretty interested in it, and I thought this was right up my alley.
Welcome. Spencer Arga.
Hey, everyone. My name is Spencer. I am a fourth-year undergraduate student, senior, and majoring in ecosystem science and sustainability as well. I'm in a similar situation to Olivia, I think. I don't have a defined water resource path right in front of me, but I thought the range of topics covered in this class was really interesting and worthwhile. So that's what piqued my interest.
That's great. Welcome. Lauren Besser.
Hi, I'm Lauren. I'm also in the Impact MBA with Gabrielle. We're in our last semester, which is awesome. I am also working towards getting a carbon management certificate. My summer work this summer was with the CSU. It's not officially launched yet, but the school is trying to launch a sustainable livestock collaborative. So I got really interested with ranching and agriculture and was learning a lot about that. And, the water aspect of that is really interesting. And I definitely want to stay in food. So water is a big part of that.
That's great. Do you have a ranching background?
I do not. No, my undergrad is in accounting. So I'm kind of jumping into something I'm a bit of an outsider in, but it's been really interesting. And yeah, I really, really like just the whole ag sector. I think it's really cool.
That's great. You know, I grew up in Cheyenne, Wyoming. I'm a Colorado native, but I grew up in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And when I started working on water law issues in Wyoming, the farmers would look at me and say, oh, you're a city girl. And I never thought of Cheyenne as a city because there was Denver. But it's always interesting. So I'm glad to have you here.
I've made a couple dumb suggestions.
Great. Eva, and how do you say your last name, Eva?
Cohane.
Cohane, okay.
Yeah, so my name's Eva Cohane. I'm a first-year chemistry graduate student, along with Jacob. I'm taking this course because I'm specifically interested in environmental chemistry and how to repurpose water that was for agricultural use. And I would love to someday work with farmers and help them through that process.
That's wonderful. Yeah, that's definitely an area that will keep you busy, I believe, in this day and age. Let's see, Aunt Stephanie Rogel?
Yep. I just got here because I was struggling to download this on my new computer. What are we doing first?
I had the same problem this morning. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm an ESS major, ecosystem science sustainability. And I just wanted to take this class just because I figured that, you know, water is such an important part of sustainability, especially within city planning. And especially within Fort Collins and Colorado in general, or any dry states, you know, and it's important to know like policies, better conservation techniques. So I figured that it'd be just like a fun time and it'd be more informative way of like, you know, like having an edge related to like my other maybe incoming peers for work.
Great. Well, welcome. Mm-hmm. Are there any other students out there that I haven't tapped? Okay, while I'm thinking about it, next week, students from Fort Lewis will be joining us in this seminar. We're working to collaborate more on these kinds of classes. And so we'll see a few more students joining us. I don't know. I think maybe their professor is going to have them all in a classroom and then they'll join us on Zoom. But it's exciting to have this kind of participation from you all. And I haven't seen such a variety of people for a while. I'm used to the poli-sci and I'm used to the watershed science folks and the ag engineers and the civil engineers, but this is just a really broad base. So thank you all so much for joining us. And I'm glad you got the email or the notice or saw the poster outside. So let me then go get back to my presentation. There we go. And just get into a little historic discussion. In the world, in the United States especially, there are two kinds of water law systems. The first is it was called riparian water rights. And this, of course, you know, we started out colonizing the East Coast, plenty of rain, lots of water. And so this common law came to us actually from England that if you're on the river, you have the right to a reasonable use of that water or lake or stream, that you have a co-equal status with all of your other partners on that river or on that lake. If there are shortages, you share those shortages. Now, that's how it was for quite a while. And then there started to be issues about how to share that fairly. And so now some states permit in the East permit it the use of water, and may require conditions to prevent harm to other folks. So there is somewhat of a permit system in the riparian side of things. The Colorado Doctrine is known as the Doctrine of Prior Appropriation. It did indeed take hold in Colorado. We had California, we had Utah also coming in with that idea, but it stems, the Colorado Doctrine stems from the miners, in the way the miners held themselves up among themselves. So, you know, we had in 1859, we had the gold rush in the Rockies. And so in that law, your first claims were based on first possession. If you were there first, then you were there. You had the first right, essentially, for that claim. So that then just naturally led to using that same system for water. You didn't have to be on the river itself. You could divert the river off to another area, wherever your mine is, or wherever, whatever you're doing, and anybody could use that water. However, if there's a shortage in the river, and here in Colorado we have shortages a lot, then we develop the first in time, first in right. So the first person to use the water, to divert it, and to put it to a beneficial use, then had the better right. If your senior right on a river, then, and the river starts, the supplies start falling, you can call, it's a call for your water right, which means the administrators have to shut down any of the, and all of the junior rights until you get the whole amount of your water right, or whatever you can get from the river. I have some line diagrams that explain this better, and I'll try to remember to show them to you next week. The other thing that developed is that rights were transferable. So if you had a senior right, you've diverted it to, let's say you've diverted it to work the gold. That's not going well for you, but somebody's come up, a cattle rancher, and said, boy, I could use that water. You could transfer that water to him, and then he would have that senior right. There are conditions on that transfer that we'll talk about next week, but it's there. So it's much different than the riparian doctrine. The Colorado Doctrine, the book I have shown there by Daniel Shore, is another really interesting book that talks about the development of this doctrine. It has, one of the reasons the Colorado Doctrine of Prior Appropriation was established were people were concerned about big interests coming in and scooping up all of the water. In other words, speculating on the water. So there had to be a way to be fair and to be ordered with respect to how water was distributed. And that's how it came about. David Shore is a good book to read. This is a map I just found here a couple days ago that I thought was interesting. This shows the United States, and you see that all these red and orange states use the riparian doctrine as their water law basis. Some, though, some are pure. Not that many anymore. And then the regulated riparian, I talked about permit systems in them. Then west of that, what's called the meridian, hundredth meridian are the western states than the developed later. This central area in orange are pretty much pure prior appropriation states. Other states like Texas were riparian, but now they're prior appropriation. California, along with Nebraska and Oklahoma, are a mix of prior appropriation and riparian. So if you have any questions about California, don't ask me because I don't understand it at all. I've done some work in California, but fortunately it had nothing to do with water rights. It was more water policy work. And even in these states, there's differences. For instance, Colorado is the only state that has a court system. If you're going to protect your water right, you want to get a court decree saying, this is your water right for this amount and for this use. And so we have an intense, and I'll talk about it a little bit next week. It's a court system with respect to protecting your water rights. In these other states, it's more of a combination. Your first stop is with a state engineer, and you get a permit that allows you to use water. And then you have a certain procedure you have to go to protect that permit, mostly an administrative type procedure. Then there are what's called general adjudications, and you do have to go to court for that. So it's a really a mixed bag, but it's very fascinating. So the doctrine of prior appropriation is adopted in the Colorado Constitution. Actually, it's in the Constitution of most of those Western states I talked about. So that became the law. The right to divert the unappropriated waters of any natural stream to beneficial use shall never be denied. That is still in the Constitution and remains unchanged. There are nuances to that, and we'll talk a little bit about it next week. So the fun thing about water law is there's these maxims that you always hear. For instance, remember I told you if you were the senior water right, you have the better right on the river. However, if you have a junior water right and you're upstream of that senior and you've got a shovel, well, maybe you can steal some of that water. So this is just one of those classic pictures of I'd rather be upstream with a shovel than downstream with a water right. So as we started developing in the West here and in Colorado, there's a certain flow to it. You know, we had individual direct diversion ditches that came up. Then we saw community and larger scale diversion projects. For example, many of the miners who came to mine gold realized that there might be more money in growing food for the miners who are mining. And so you started to see a lot of colonization here in northern Colorado especially. And that's the Confluence book that I talked about discusses this. And so you had larger systems, people coming together and saying, well, I could do my own ditch. But boy, if we could do a bigger ditch for all these, my neighbors and myself, then we can really work hard. We can get more water. And then in the 1880s, we have what's called transbasin diversions. This is where tunnels were dug under the mountains, and we take water from the West Slope, Colorado River water, actually, and we bring it over to the East Slope. So yeah, that was about the 1880s. Then we have the reservoirs in the Bureau of Reclamation large project era. If you have not read the book called Cadillac Desert, it's a great book. It's by Mark Reisner. And it talks about the development of the West in the big reservoir development area. Remember, the goal was to populate the West, to establish an economy, to grow our manifest destiny, essentially. The picture, the bottom left picture there is a picture of them tunneling through the mountains. This is the Adams Tunnel for what's now known as the Colorado Big Thompson Project. Then in the 1930s, groundwater development, we were able to start pumping water out of the ground. That changed the landscape considerably. It's, if you weren't getting enough water, you could supplement that with wells. Well, the problem with that is a lot of wells then suck up a lot of water, and whether or not that's a sustainable aspect for water development and supplies, that's an issue. You're going to hear the fellow from Greeley, who's their water manager, talk about a project that they have going where they're now going to use groundwater as a bank. They're going to, and it's on the ranch, the Bison Ranch, that's on the Wyoming-Colorado border. And it's not so much that they're bringing up that groundwater, although they will bring up some, but it's that they can store the groundwater in the aquifer. So I think that will be a real interesting conversation. Oh, I'm running out of time. Another maxim, water flows uphill to money. Just ask the city of Denver. They've accomplished a lot with the money that they've put to it. This is a picture of the water that leaves the state. We affectionately call this the snake picture. It shows, you see the Colorado River water, South Platte, Arkansas, Rio Grande. Colorado is what we call a headwaters state. So that we have, I think, about nine major rivers that flow out of Colorado. The interesting dynamic in Colorado is that 80% of our water is on the east coast, is on the west side, west slope, whereas about 85 to 90% of the population is on the east slope. So this causes another really interesting dynamic when you're looking at policy and law in Colorado. So I'm out of time, but here's what I leave you with. What is sustainability? I'm sure several of you could answer that question. And does the context matter? Yes, it does. If you look back at the slides will be on Canvas also on the website. I looked at several definitions of sustainability, you know, Webster's, Harvard, the EPA. There's the Department of Local Affairs talks about sustainable development plans for local entities. Watch None Grow, this is my favorite water tower in the whole state. So I had to put it on there. The United Nations developed a definition for sustainability as meeting the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. And as you can see, they've listed 17 goals. Life on land, life in the water, clean water and sanitation, along with other sustainable goals. So there's a lot out there. Oh, that's, by the way, they're building a ditch there. That's one of the early ditches in northern Colorado. So with that, I've run out of time, but I will stop and see if there are any questions. And you can unmute yourself and just ask them. So, and members of the public, you're welcome to hop in here too. Or put it in the chat now and you'll let me know about it. Okay. there's going to be questions next week. We're going to do a whirlwind tour of water law next week, and then we can get into some really meaty conversations with respect to our guest speakers. With that, I'll let you go, and thank you very much for your attention. Thank you to the members of the public who have joined us.
Jennifer, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but we did just get a question, and I'm sure. Totally going to mispronounce this. Someone asked, will aqueous be addressed? A-C-E-Q-U-I-A-S.
Aqueous.
Thank you. I was not going to get that one.
Yes. Thank you. Because one of our, I have two people from the Rio Grande Valley. One works at Adams State. They are going to talk about environmental justice and aqueous. Come right into that. So yes, we'll get there. Anything else, Sally?
Nope, that's it from the chat.
All right. Well, thank you all so much. Have a good evening, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks. See ya.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.